Welcome to another BlindBargains.com exclusive audio podcast brought to you by the AT Guys, your assistive technology experts. Visit ATGuys.com today for all your technology needs. Now, here's J.J. Meadow.
We're here at ATA with Sigi Kipke, founder and CEO of HandyTech, and we are talking about some new Braille initiatives and OCR product and much more. So welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much. So starting to talk about a little bit about our Open Braille initiative.
Sure.
So this is probably really unusual that competitors sit together and say, let's start in creating a standard. And the idea of creating this Open Braille standard is that we have a standardized interface for any application on different platforms. Mm-hmm. To talk to a Braille display. So the interface, screen reader to Braille display, we want to have a common set of functions and a common way of talking to each other. So that would make life for
sure.
For programmers or for developers trying to have Braille support much easier. And on the other hand, it also makes life for us as a producer and developer of Braille displays easier to have support for different systems.
Sure, then as a new Braille display comes out, it would automatically be supported.
So the idea is that we're creating open Braille compatibility, mm-hmm. so that we have a functionality. So in our group, maybe I can summarize this. So
okay.
It's not just HandyTech, it's also BaumbreTech, Optelec, Humanware, and Eurobrite from France. So we are quite a group, and normally, we are competing directly with each other, but we all have to see the needs of having a standardized interface. It probably also was motivated by the approach of Freedom Scientific, having a signed driver. Also, security and having a secure system is also very much on high on our agenda, and mm-hmm. we hope to reach this here. We have a completely different approach. Open Braille is open, and using those standards is of course for free, and it does not take any signing fee or whatever. So it's up for anybody who wants to be able to drive Braille displays. And I think here we really make a step forward also to new applications to have Braille access.
So anybody or any company that wants to create a Braille display is welcome to this standard for free?
Yeah, and anybody who wants to drive Braille displays, I think this is probably often more the tricky part, how to drive those various types of Braille displays. I mean, in the moment, we all have to talk to each individual programmer and define a protocol and how devices talk to each other. And the first step we want to take with the Open Braille initiative is that we want to create a human interface device, a code page, so that Braille displays are detected when connected, for example, to a Windows machine, automatically as a Braille display, and also with its properties coming along with the Braille display. Mm-hmm. So it has 40 characters or cursor routing or other properties like scrolling keys. Or whatever. So this would one dream we all share, I think, and would be wonderful for the user is the scenario that you come with your Braille device into any internet shop or onto any computer, and you just plug it in. It's recognized as a Braille display, and it will be supported straight away.
Will that take an update to Windows itself to make that happen?
The good thing is, and we are very grateful that this is happening now, is that Microsoft and other are interesting to integrate this new standard when we have defined it into Windows. Hopefully, our goal is to reach have a HID standard interface implemented in Windows 8. Probably this is very tough schedule here, but it is very, very nice to see that they see the need of have a standard interface here.
Right. So the actual Open Braille standard, is that something that's released now, or is it still being worked on?
It's still being worked on. Our first step, like I said, is defining HID usage page. Here we're still adding some functions. So our guess is probably 1 or 2 months we have a proposal for a standardization. And here also IBM and Adobe helps us in the standardization process, because we have as a group not experienced in the standardization process. And here it's wonderful that also companies like Microsoft like to help us going along the way to create a standard.
Some companies, of course, noticeably absent from this initiative, Freedom Scientific, you didn't mention GW Micro.
GW Micro is very much supporting this idea, and now the AIA, the technical group, have now joined ATIA, and so what we have discussed also with the chair of AIA, which is Rob Sinclair, who is also from Microsoft, that we will be part of AIA as a work group and in under this umbrella of ATIA, with AIA as a working group, defining this standard. So it's wonderful that we now get also a frame to work in, a structure where we could also have access to expertise in standardization, how to do this.
What is the reaction from Freedom Scientific?
We are inviting Freedom Scientific to join this initiative. Hopefully, eventually they will do this. For the moment, the answer was no. Hopefully they rethink and say, yes, having a standardized interface also helps us talk to different devices without a hassle of finding and creating new dedicated drivers.
Do you feel their policy on Braille display signing, do you feel that hurts the industry as a whole?
This is very, because I'm really here not neutral, of course.
Right.
Being affected as one of the Braille display manufacturers, having now to pay for the signing, and it was published on the internet, Freedom is asking for $9,000 and plus an annual fee of $5,000. I think it's up to the listener to think if this is a good policy. I think it's not only benefiting, let's put it mildly, Freedom Scientific to come up with this policy. It is valid to have standard and secure, because security issues are growing and growing all the time. And of course, with drivers, you can also do some damage. So having the right driver, having maintaining a good quality is very valid idea.
Now, meanwhile, aside from Braille, you also released a new OCR product.
Yes, it's a simple solution. It's called iRead, and iRead is a scanning software which is based to work with a screen in combination with a screen reader, ideally with window eyes, but also NVDA or JAWS, of course. It's nicely working with the iRead. You see, the situation we had as HandyTech is that 1 year ago we have introduced window eyes as a screen reader into Germany. Till then, it was not known as and the moment we introduced window eyes, and we've been dealer for JAWS for 13 years, so dealer of the first hour, they have Freedom have pulled the plug on us. So we've been not only able to sell JAWS anymore, also we have lost the right to sell OpenBook. and open book. This reading solutions are especially interesting for also for what we call the health insurance business in
right.
Germany. For elderly people want to have access to their reading material, and so we had a need. And we looked around different alternatives, and we didn't find what we really needed. And
not a Kurzweil 1000.
It's a very nice and strong solution, but some aspects we've been missing, or we did a different emphasis here. And so we said, okay, let's go for our own solution. And it was very nice to see that it is so well received. And
right.
I invite everybody to play around with this. When you go to www.handytech.de, you find under downloads trial software,
right.
And here you also find iRead. It's a 30-day full-blown version, so it's so the only limitation is the 30 days. And you're very welcome. Just try it out, have fun with it, and
right.
So you
admit that Europe is probably your primary market, but is there a lot of viability for this product in the U.S., or is it's becoming a very crowded market in a very short period of time?
Yeah, so my expectation was, to be open here, that not much going on for us, for iRead in the U.S. and
mm-hmm.
And outside of Germany, but... I'm really surprised by the feedback of our
right.
Foreign dealers that they say, "Oh, it is simple, but it does the job." And
right.
So it's this is really nice. So I also invite you to play around.
Sure.
If I have a chance, maybe I would like to also talk a little bit more about Braille technology.
Sure.
Is this now a good time?
Sure. Well, okay. Let me ask you one more question first
mm-hmm.
about this. $750 in the U.S. is. I know the pricing structure is different, and mm-hmm. sometimes things get priced a little bit higher in Europe because of insurance paying for assistive technology.
Mm-hmm. And localization costs. Even if it sounds funny, we as a German company, and I think it's true for other international companies,
mm-hmm.
the first version we always develop is the English version. So the German version, even we are native Germans, have our first localization. It's funny. We need a common base, and this is of course the English version,
sure.
to go for localization. Let's say Norwegian, Swedish, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So this is always extra work, extra things to do, extra things to. Let's say we need a special converter, grade 2 converter. Just in a grade 2 converter, we invested 2 man-years, or probably 3 man-years, just because the German grade 2 is insane complicated.
Really?
And things like this. So you say, whoa!
Right. All right. So there are some more Braille things you said you wanted to talk about.
Yes.
So.
I would love to talk a little bit about ATC, Active Tactile Control.
Oh, right. Absolutely.
And so what we're doing here is we have created a Braille display called a Modular Evolution, which
mm-hmm.
is capable of detecting the reading position on the Braille display. So it is the first Braille display in the world, and we have a pattern on this, detecting the reading position. So we do, in the end, we measure the force of each of the pins. And if we're talking about 88 character Braille display, then we're talking about 704 pins. Of each pin, we measure the force 20 times a second and analyze the changing of the force to find out which one is the reading position. This is really tricky because
mm-hmm.
you can have up to 8 or fingers on the Braille display, so which one is the reading position? So some people do some pre-guidance by one hand and reading with the left hand
mm-hmm.
or the other way around, and whoa! So we tried it out with our blind colleagues. Well, one third of the people working for us in Handytech, when we are all together 46 people, are themselves blind and Braille users, power Braille users.
Right.
And believe it or not, when we tried this approach, finding the reading position, we really miserably failed. We could not find a common pattern. Each and every of our blind colleagues were reading
right.
differently. This was like, wow, probably we have to give up. But then we found an approach of analyzing not only the position, also the force characteristic. And this really helped us because the reading position have a different force applied to the pins. than the rest of the pin of the fingers. And this really helped us to find a reading position. And from there on, we implemented assistant functions. And a very simple one is, an obvious one to do is, when you have finished reading the contents of the Braille display, and sometimes the Braille display only use up the contents only use up half of the space of the Braille display, let's say, then we know it, you have done it, and we can automatically scroll on. So without the need of pressing the button, you can continuously reading. But since we know your reading position, we can also tell you, especially the beginners, this is a letter A, B, so whatever you are reading, the word you have reading, you are reading,
right.
Or we can tell you the word after you have read it, or we can tell you the word even with a delay. Let's say you want to learn a foreign language, and you're reading the word, you're trying to pronounce it, and then you hear it from the native synthesizer, oh, this is how you pronounce it.
Sure.
Things like this. What we also do is, since we know the reading position, we can also save it, store it. We call it a log file.
Right.
And with this...
Oh, sorry about that.
No problem. And with the possibility to log the reading flow, we also know how many words per minute, how many letters per minute, how was the reading flow developing over the time. So and so we can also provide teacher with a very valuable information. When does a student get tired? Is there a certain letter combination always taking longer to read?
Mm-hmm.
Is there always the reading flow always maybe interrupted by going backwards? So we are detecting not only the reading position, also the reading direction. We know if you're reading forward, if you're reading fast, so above a certain speed, if you're resting on one position, or if you're reading backwards. And all this helps us to analyze, and we have a little tool here called ATC Log Analyzer,
mm-hmm.
to analyze what was happening in a classroom, in a session. Let's say we start a session, say, let's find out what we're doing the next 10 minutes. So it's a little key combination where you start and stop it, and then we have a little log file, and this can be analyzed.
How far along is the development of this, and will this take support from the screen readers to really become reality?
It is reality,
mm-hmm.
and it became a reality because all the functionality is within our driver. We have this universal driver approach. That means, even if you're using drawers or window eyes or NVDA, you can use our universal driver,
mm-hmm.
and this universal driver provides functionality. For example, if you're connected via Bluetooth. Typical problem, you're losing the connection. With a beacon range, normally the connection is not restored. Our driver takes care that it's restored again.
Mm-hmm.
We take care that we find the interface connected. We take care automatically what type of Braille display is connected. So we only have one driver for all our Braille displays. For the whole range, you don't have to pick which
hand detects this way, is it? Right.
Also, Braille input is done through our driver, so we don't need to rely on functions from the screen reader. We are using controlling the Braille input functionality, and all this, and part of this is also the ATC technology, where we controlling speech prompts with our driver as part of the universal driver.
Sure. All right. Well, a lot of things going on with HandyTech. How can people get in contact with you?
The easiest is to reach our friends here in the U.S. Info@handytech.us, handytech.us, or the CEO is Earl Harrison, so it's also earl@handytech.us, or colleague
EARLE, right?
Yes. And also just call our support, and So it's, we would love to hear from you.
All right. Well, Siggy, it's been a pleasure.
My pleasure. Thank you so much.
This has been another exclusive audio podcast from Blind Bargains. Visit blindbargains.com for the latest technology deals, news, and interviews. So long.